50. Okay, keep going. Anybody else? 920. Well, how many?
1,001.
But according to one person's count, there are 3,573 promises in the Bible. Okay. I read from another that there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and that is a lot of promises. Amen? That is like a lot of promises. So I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Here are a few of God's promises. This is very good. You ready? The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. The Lord will fight with you. You only need to be still. Another one is, but those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow weak. Amen? Aren't they good? So for those of you who are new to the journey, the faith journey, the one I just gave you is Isaiah 40 and 31. And that is a verse that any seasoned Christian has highlighted in their Bible. So that's a good one to highlight. Another one. This is very, very good. Very, very good, because I would say that it affects almost everybody that's here this morning. And it's this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Amazing, amazing, amazing. Promises. Jesus made a promise. Amen. Jesus made a promise about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus made a promise about the Holy Spirit. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 15 and 17, John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17, it says this. It says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit in these verses. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help. Say that with me, help. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Promises are important. Amen? How many of you know that promises are important? I remember when Linda and I first got married, we would travel to the province of Quebec, to Montreal and up to Rodden, Quebec, sometimes three times, sometimes four times a month. And when my parents got sick, even more, even though we were working and we lived in Brampton at the time, and to where my parents were, sometimes it was an eight-hour drive. And so we would drive there on a Friday night for 8 hours and come back on a Sunday night for 8 hours. And the one thing is that my mother would always make her famous meat macaroni. Now, some of you have famous meat macaroni too, okay? But hers was famous because she made it. And so we will give that to her, right? And she would always make that for us, and it was always waiting for us. It didn't matter whether traffic was bad or whatever, and we arrived only because we worked. We'd leave on Friday afternoon in traffic hour from downtown Toronto, and we would drive for 8 hours, and sometimes the drive was not 8 hours, but it was 12 hours because of whatever. And it didn't matter what time we arrived. Even if it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, my mother would be sitting up, and the meat macaroni would be on the stove, nice and ready for us, and it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Now, my mother had settled in her heart that she would have it ready for us, and it was a promise that she quietly made in her heart. I didn't know that it was her promise. She never said to me, I promise that you will always have meat macaroni every week when you come. But the thing is, it was a promise that she made in her heart. And I want to tell you something this morning, folks. Jesus made a promise. Okay? He made a promise, and you know how important promises are. When I have broken a promise, I am devastated. How about you? I don't like it. I don't like that about myself. Jesus made a promise. He sent what the Father had promised for you. For you, Jesus. So please allow me to share with you from a pastor author I was reading this week that really captured my heart. And I love the spirit in which it was. So I just want to share with you a story that I read this week in his book. And it says this. It says, "The knock at the door startled Irene Atkins. The 79-year-old grandmother wasn't expecting visitors. A cautious peek through the peephole revealed a well-dressed, silver-haired gentleman with a kind face that struck her as vaguely familiar. It was something about the eyes and the nose. As she opened the door, her certainty grew. The stranger definitely reminded her of someone, but who? It took her a while to realize that the man's face indeed bore an uncanny resemblance. Irene's 73-year-old brother, Terry, had come for a surprise visit. It was quite surprising because Irene never knew she had a brother. Back in 1932, in the depths of the Great Depression, a desperate and confused young English couple unhitched their tattered trailer on the side of the road and they drove away. And police later found three small, hungry children inside. Irene, at 10 months of age, was the youngest. The three were placed into foster care homes and grew up unaware of each other's existence. And meanwhile, the young couple eventually achieved some stabilities years later, and they had another child and their son, Terry. And when Terry was 14 years old, his parents revealed their shameful secret. They told him of the desperate straits in which they found themselves and the decision to abandon the trio of hungry mouths that they could not feed. And shortly thereafter, Terry began a lifelong quest to find his siblings, especially the sister his parents had named Irene. He searched in vain for almost 60 years, and then came a breakthrough. He learned the name of the agency that had placed Irene and her siblings in foster homes. And not long thereafter came the day, on April the 3rd, 2010, when Irene Atkins discovered the wonderful brother she never knew. In a discovery, the ruthless orphan found a source of answers to questions she had carried around in her heart all her life. And the author, Pastor Robert Morris, who we have been praying for because he was in hospital the last couple of weeks and he's recovered, goes on to say this, "I believe I know how Irene felt. Several decades ago, after many years of struggling to live the Christian life and even working successfully in full-time ministry, I finally discovered the God I never knew. And in the discovery," he says, "I found the source of answers to every question I ever had, but also a dear friend as well. One who made my life richer, fuller, and more exciting than I ever dreamed possible. I am referring, of course, to God, the Holy Spirit." God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, who we revere, we honor as God the Father. As Jesus Christ, the Son, he found God, the Holy Spirit. He said he grew up in a church. However, the church was part of a denomination that avoided mentioning the Holy Spirit whenever possible. Hopefully, none of you can relate to that. He says, in fact, many years ago, when he prepared to leave home to attend a Bible college, his pastor just had one parting word of counsel for him. As a young believer, he eagerly waited to hear what encouragement his father would or his pastor would have as he entered into the season of preparation for ministry. And the only advice that he got was, watch out for people who talk about the Holy Spirit. And at the time, he didn't know any better, so he just nodded and he filed the warning away in his mind somewhere. But after 25 years of ministry, of discovering what a wonderful, kind, helpful, gentle, and wise person the Holy Spirit is, and developing an intimate relationship with him, he says he was grieved when thinking back at his father, at his pastor's advice. And to be honest, he says that he was offended. He was offended. He goes on to say this. He says this. If you're like most people, you've probably been misinformed about the Holy Spirit to some degree. And in fact, many frustrated believers are just as Irene Adkins was for most of her life, utterly unaware that a loving and amazing person desires to know them and to fill their empty lives with good things. Why don't you say with me, good morning, Holy Spirit. So who is this person? Who is this person? Just who is the Holy Spirit? That's the big question. It's a question as big as God himself. Amen? And Jesus begins with words of comfort. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going away, but I will come back. And then in John 14, 16, and 17, Jesus gets to the core of what he wants these men and what he wants us to understand this morning. And I will ask the Father, he says. In some versions, it says, I will pray to the Father. But if you do the analysis of the word, it's not, he wasn't praying. He was asking the Father. Because prayer, that's what it is. It's asking the Father. And he asked the Father, and he will give you another helper. Here we go, helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. I want you to note the word helper here. Jesus tells the disciples that the role and nature of this person is to help. So where do you need help? Where do you need to submit your life to the helper so that he could help you, that he could love you, that he could nurture you, that he could care for you? Amen? Jesus assured them that the helper won't be a complete stranger either. He explains by saying, for he dwells with you, but he will be in you. Like, I don't know about you folks, but me? Think about when your eyes were opened and you finally had the understanding that Holy Spirit dwells within you. Talk about fear of the Lord. Okay, we're supposed to fear the Lord, not that he's going to strike you down for all your misdemeanors that you go through your life, but go like this with me. Temple of the Holy Spirit. Like, temple of the Holy Spirit, like, good night. Like, only Holy Spirit can make us understand this. Because if there was someone in here who wasn't on the same page as us, they'd be like, I don't think I'm going to be going back to that church. Okay? They think like that God lives with inside them. Like, are they whacked? Jesus also assures them that the helper won't be this complete stranger, as I said. But what kind of help? What kind of help will the Holy Spirit provide? Well, Jesus gives part of the answer in John 14, 25 and 26. He says, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said. Why do you think that every time Linda preaches, she says, read your Bible, read your Bible. Read the red, read the red, read the red, read the red. Because Holy Spirit will bring back to you, your remembrance, everything that Jesus said. And you need to know what Jesus said so that you could function and you could be a distributor of his grace to your families and to the world around you. And without reading the red and allowing Holy Spirit to bring back to memory, we become self-serving. And we think that the God we have is just there to answer our prayers so that we could just do what we want to do. Notice that Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. Amen. Trust is everything. You know what I mean? How many of you have ever told an untruth? Okay. And how many of you, when you received an untruth, it just kind of pierced you? It was like you had so much trust in a person or into a situation or something, and it was like someone stuck a knife in your back, and it was like, what? I can't believe you crossed me this way? Jesus says that Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus presents the Holy Spirit to us as the ultimate answer to overcoming and undoing the work of Satan, the great deceiver and the father of lies. And it's almost like we don't want to talk about Satan anymore. Well, you know what? He is the father of lies. And there is many of us, including myself, where we have believed in lies. And the Spirit of Truth does not give us lies, so where do the lies come from? Amen? So what kind of help does he provide? Well, he's the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus continues. He will tell you things to come. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will tell you the future. He will tell you the future. Yes. Do I know exactly what that looks like completely so that I could explain it to you? No. But I'm on a journey just like you. And it's an exciting adventure. And every day it's like, wow. Really? You're awesome, God. Okay? Like, where's the wow? Where's the awe? Okay? It's like, wow. Could be the smallest thing. This week, you know, we had someone I put on Facebook who came into our prayer ministry meeting for the first time ever in a meeting. And so they said. At the end, I said, so what did you think? The person smiled and said, wonderful. How many of you would be in fear and trepidation to walk in the very first time because you've never walked into a room with people praying? Because you'd be fearful that someone might ask you to pray. Well, you know what? That was a major victory in that person's life. Okay? It may not be a major victory in your life, but you see, so it says, Holy Spirit says that we will see into the future. Okay? So all of a sudden, I begin to celebrate that victory in your life. It may not mean the biggest thing to me, but it's a victory for you. And what might be a small thing to me might be a big thing to someone else. And Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, will reveal something to you so that you could come alongside and say, with you, proud of you, good for you. Jesus continues, he says, he will tell you all things. So the bottom line is the key message about the Holy Spirit is very simple. He helps you. He helps you. He helps me to know what to say when I am speechless. He helps me to know what to say when I need to keep my mouth closed. Can any of you relate? Can any of you relate? Be honest now with me. I'm sure all of us can think of situations where both kinds of help would be very welcome. What are you smiling about there, sir? Would you like to testify this morning? Let's go back to Newfoundland for a minute here. Come up here, sir. Grab this mic. God is good. God is good. So the situation is this, folks. It's that hearing God, hearing his voice is vital, right? It's vital. Hearing God and responding to him can take us to new places of intimacy and purpose in him. It doesn't have to look weird, you know. I don't understand why sometimes in our circles we've made Holy Spirit weird. It's almost like that crazy uncle that comes to visit like at Thanksgiving or something, and we put up with him. We make it sound like this. We need to honor Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God, right? Always has a place at the dinner table in the house here because he helps us. He speaks to us. So it's very, very important. Hearing God's voice begins by recognizing which member of the Trinity is tasked with speaking to us in this season of history. Now, I just read that, so it didn't sound like it came out. The Holy Spirit is tasked at this season of history to be the voice that speaks to us. So if we want to understand God, people are always confused. They say, well, I'm trying to hear what God's saying. I'm trying to hear what God's saying. It's Holy Spirit that's tasked. He's the member of the Trinity right now that speaks to us. So if we ignore Holy Spirit, how are we supposed to hear what God is saying? Amen. So in other ways, the Spirit helps us, according to John 16 and that. It says in those verses, 16, 8 to 11, it says that, in fact, there are more aspects of the I need water. It's hard. When you talk as much as I do, you get... Listen, I know you folks so well. I know how long your attention span is, because I talk a lot. And so I'll talk to... Like, you're very good, because you'll listen. You know, like, you stay in tune. Kevin, I have about a minute and a half with him. And then he's... Then he's looking over this shoulder and kind of going from foot to foot, and, you know, you're not bad, you know. So, Randy, he doesn't hear anything I say, you know, so. But Micah, now Micah, Friday night, we were so impressed with Micah because we were sitting there, and there was another man in the church and I that were talking about you, because we were watching you engaged with one of the youth. And you were, like, so listening. And we were very impressed with that. So there you go. That's your compliment for coming home. Okay, now that I got my thoughts back together. It says that when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus names these areas that the Holy Spirit will convict: sin, righteousness, and judgment. So what does he mean by convict? What does he mean by convict? Well, to the modern ears, the word gives the thought of a criminal prosecution. But Jesus is talking about conviction in the sense of belief or persuasion. Simply put, to convict means to convince. So Holy Spirit comes into your life and you say, I'm feeling so convicted. What the Holy Spirit is doing is he's making you, helping you to believe. And this is the role of helping. The Holy Spirit will convince the world of God's truth concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will persuade people that certain things are true. In verse 9, he says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. So we need to understand that when the Holy Spirit convicts or convinces people of sin, that sin is ruling in their lives, That is a good thing. That is a good thing. If you're being convicted of your sins this morning, that's a good thing. That's, get on your knees and say, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're at work in my life. Say, how many of you know here that there's sin in your life that you're not being convicted of? Okay. So Linda says, prayer precedes revival. And we go to the altar and we repent. Because what happens is Holy Spirit convicts of sin. So we need to understand that Holy Spirit convicts, and righteousness, the Holy Spirit also convicts of righteousness. Contrary to common belief, righteousness doesn't mean right behavior. Right? We had a man that attended this church when we first came here, and his father was a pastor. And one Sunday he testified, he spoke, and he said, growing up, his father, the pastor, was very loving with everyone else, but when they got home, it was of that generation, it was like, okay, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, what will the neighbors think? Right? Righteous living is not that, okay? It doesn't mean right behavior. Perhaps you've even heard that someone who has a high moral standards refers to a righteous person. And of course, it's good to have high moral standards, but that is not righteous. That is not righteousness. Instead, righteousness means to be in right standing with God. And that is what this house is praying for, that our wills will be lined up with His will so that we will be in good standings with Him, so that we will be able to hear Him. Do you know that every Wednesday night there's about 35 children that are on a list here, and that we go through every single name and we call out every single name and we pray that there would be righteousness in that home, there would be right standing with you and your God. Yeah. Folks, God is good. Amen. So instead, righteousness means a right standing with God, a proper understanding. It can be easily misread and understand about the Holy Spirit's role. And you know what? I'm a Pentecostal charismatic person, okay? I like signs and wonders, and I like to do this. You know what? Pentecostal doesn't mean that because we sing loud and we jump around and we wave flags. Pentecostal means that we understand who Holy Spirit is and we're in a right relationship with God so that God will work through us so that the world will be changed around us. And that we get rid of all the false humility and all the pride. And we say, like in, they say in Isaiah chapter 55, God, send me. Amen? The Holy Spirit was sent to make us aware that we're lost and in need of Jesus and to lead us to Him, then to persuade us to live in a right standing relationship with God through Him, and then to finally fill us with the conviction that Satan is a defeated enemy that no longer has authority over you or me. He has no authority over you, so do not allow him to have a foothold in your life because he has no authority over you. You according to what Jesus has to say. And if you give him authority over you, then what you are doing is you are not agreeing with what Jesus' promises are. Okay? And I don't want to be in, out of step with the promises of God. So when you open up yourself to this ministry of the Holy Spirit, you'll find that he helps you. In every area of your Christian life, amen? That makes sense because the Holy Spirit is our what? Our helper. Our helper. Our helper. But that's not all he is. He's also a friend. Oh my goodness, what a friend. A friend that'll never stab you in the back. A friend that won't go to Tim Hortons and say, did you? Oh. Hey, I'm guilty too. Holy Spirit, we need you so desperately. The main reason people, I close with this. Look at the time. Oh my goodness, how do I do that? Like, look behind you. Like, is that, you know what? It's just the way it is. Like, I get in the car and I go somewhere. Now I'm going to be 1 minute late because I'm telling you a story. I'll get in the car and we'll be told to be somewhere at 9:30. Guaranteed at 9:30, I'm driving into the driveway. How many of, who else is like that here? It just kind of happens that way. It's not like I put pressure on anyone to be ready. It's just, it always just works out. So I don't, like, you know what? We don't have, like, a scripted order of service here that, you know, like, so that Ron has 20 seconds to do this and you have 20, there are places that are like that, but it always works out, right? The main reason many people aren't sure if they can really hear the voice of God is because they have refused to engage and embrace the member of the Trinity whose job is to speak to them. Interesting, isn't it? Want me to repeat that? Do you? The main reason, are you going to be able to focus? The main reason, Kevin, that many people aren't sure if they can hear the voice of God is because they have refused to engage and embrace the member of the Trinity whose job it is to speak to them. That was so revelation to me this week because I have been on a journey of hearing God's voice, right? And you know what? I know that it's the job of the Holy Spirit in this time of history to do the speaking. But sometimes I forgot. And this morning from my heart, I wanted to give you a proper understanding of Holy Spirit is, so that when we enter into Pentecost Sunday and this season after Resurrection Sunday when the Holy Spirit came, that we have an understanding of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God, okay? And Holy Spirit's ministry is, Holy Spirit in this season of history is the voice. So if we want to hear God, we need to be in touch with Holy Spirit, not only as a helper, as the scripture says, but as a friend. But not a flippant friend. Okay? A friend that we honor, a friend that we respect, you know? Do you folks think that I respect my wife? Okay? I should respect Holy Spirit even more than that. Amen. Amen. So let's stand together. That's my message for today. Worship team, would you like to sing a song maybe for us? Would you?